Sunday, November 8th, 2020, 3:44 a.m. Okay, I've been up for a while, and I am going to start painting here in a bit. I'm still mixing up some paint. I'm not going to be painting very long, I don't think, because got a lot to do today. I got the last day of dealing with my sister's cat. And it's kind of, hey, it's chilly in here today. A little chilly, and I put the heater on, and we'll see how it goes. okay, so I was watching some YouTube news, watching some of the news from overseas about the election, and there's an expectation that Biden will bring America together, heal the differences that there are, and that Kamala Harris will help with the racial healing and the division and the inequities that have befell the minorities such as myself. well, not me, I guess. I'm not part of that class, I guess. I'm a middle class person. But, you know, growing up, I saw a lot of poor white people, too. You know, so to say that it's the racial thing, nah, it's something more complicated than what color you are as to how successful you can be in life. So there's other factors involved. I was thinking about how things affect people. When I started off with Pacific Telephone and Telegraph, part of the AT&T Bell system, I started off in a entry-level job, which was the O telephone operator. I think I mentioned it before that, you know, I actually was one of those operators that had a cord board. You'd pick up the cord and you'd plug into a light jack that lit up and talked to somebody who wants service from the operator, you know, information of some sort, or a call, collect call, or a person-to-person call, or whatever, you know, connect me to the police, you know, stuff. Anyway, so that job was an entry-level job. You had to train for it for about a week and a half after a week and a half, if you weren't able to demonstrate that you were able to do the job, you were let go. But most of the people, I would say 99.9% of the people that, maybe even 99.999% of the people were able to get through the training and get a job and keep the job, that is. Because they would thoroughly screen a lot of people before they even got to that point, you know, the testing and the interviews and all that. And it, you know, a week and a half of training to do the job, you know, to actually just do the basic job and have continued training for another 6 months, you know, afterwards. Because within, you're still like in a probationary period for 6 months, and if other behaviors, negative behaviors came up to where you were not able to actually do the job properly, you would be let go. The big thing was attendance. You know, they expected you to be there. So if you were an attendance problem, actually if you had two attendance demerits or problems, you were actually let go within that 6 months. Okay, so if you call in sick once, you have one more attendance thing, and tardiness was an attendance problem. So if you were sick once and late once, you were fired. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That was a clear cut. You know, hey, you can't get here on time. We need you to get here on time. Bye. Dink. And all that investment in the training and everything, those people were gone. The job itself, you know, you had to do certain things at certain times, You have to do it quickly and efficiently, accurately. It was a very structured job. You had to do certain things. You had to say certain things, okay, that they expected you to do. Like I said, it was a very structured job. The fact that it was a very structured job did do things to people's outlook on their day-to-day life, shall we say? You were very ordered. You were it was, and some people that I talked to that went through that process of going becoming an operator, then later on went to on to other jobs in the company. Some of them referred to it as boot camp. And I can see that because there are people that never had, like me, I had jobs, but not a big corporate job. I had, car wash, bus boy, work in mobile home manufacturing factory type job. But there are other people that hey, straight out of high school into that job. And a bunch of them did have some problems, once they got the job, they would kind of slough off. They do just the amount that they needed to do to keep the job, and then after that they'd really let go. And just be an attendance problem or an attitude problem. And you couldn't just say the word they have an attitude problem because there's no way to measure an attitude problem, okay? So that was one of the things that you always had to refer to things as some kind of behavior that you could actually point to that was a problem or something that was not desired in an employee. But anyway, so going from that job where everything was structured and your mind was always geared to something day after day, 8 hours a day, blah blah blah, to the construction splicer's job, which was they give you this job. They give you a job to do. They send you out, and you're out there by yourself dealing with things, everything. If any roadblock, you're expected to deal with it, by yourself and get the job done. They would tell you you're a creative, can-do person. Go out there and get it done, which was completely opposite of the structured operator job. And going from the operator job to the construction splicer job, there was a big difference in how people dealt with things and how and the type of people that they were, okay? And so my concern in the world we live in today is that yes, the news media, from my point of view, was obviously and is obviously in favor of Biden and completely against Trump. They, with the exception of Fox News, but they try to be say that they're fair and balanced, and we'll see. Okay. But it was obvious that that MSNBC, CNN, any the negative reporting on Trump was really, really high. The fact that that those two that the mainstream media, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, did not want to cover Joe Biden's son's laptop story that had emails in it that. And the story, they didn't want to cover the story of his business partner that came out against him. against Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden, who claimed that he knew nothing about his son's dealings with business, and was contradicted by Joe Biden's son's business partner, who said that he outright lied, that he definitely knew what was going on, okay, and not wanting to follow up on it. We're living in a country where we cannot depend on the news. Now that Biden's going to be president, we really have to watch what's happening, okay? The news may not cover what's going on accurately. There is corruption in the government. The one thing that Trump has done is he pointed that out, that there is corruption, okay? It's still not over. He's still got another couple of months to go as far as being president. So we'll see what comes out. We'll see what happens. This is going to be really interesting these next couple of months. That's all I got to say. But I'm not, with Biden and Harris becoming president and vice president, I'm not overly concerned that I'm not saying that everything's going to fall apart. Okay, but it's definitely going to try to go back to what it was before. Okay, that the government's the expert and we do what they say, which is not the way I was taught that we were brought up. Okay. That the government works for us and they do what we say. But when the older you get, you realize, oh, no, that's never been what's been going on. You know, they definitely have stuff to say. What the government should be doing, though, in my opinion, is protecting our rights. Okay, our rights to defend ourselves, our rights to the pursuit of happiness, our rights of free speech, our rights of freedom of religion. Our rights of freedom of association, our rights from illegal searches and seizures, okay. To be taxed, and I have no problem with taxation, okay. I do have a problem with my tax money going to some other government that it's supposed to help somebody, but you're actually lining the pocket of some bureaucrat over there or some well-connected business person, okay? I got a problem with that. So, anyway, so let's, I'm wasting too much time doing this. Let me get painting here. 4:38 a.m. As I'm painting here, trying to fix some things that didn't look right. I was thinking about how, and mixing up paints, you know, because you got to mix up paint every now and then because you use more of one pigment than you do of the other, and you want to, and then the painting saying, hey, let's mix these two together, and you do that. And I was, because of that, I was thinking how sometimes in the past I used to overthink things, what I think, and oversimplify some stuff. You know, like, maybe I should use white here when I could probably just use yellow or something other lighter pigment instead and make it a little bit more interesting. Let's make black and put that here instead of using, I think that's what the Impressionists did. They got away from black and started using blue and purples and stuff like that. But and made the paintings a little bit more interesting and actually a little bit more realistic because, you know, for black to really show up in nature, especially in landscapes, is pretty difficult. Looking into my studio garage here, there's human manufactured goods that are black, you know, they're not completely black. There's grays to define the outlines and shapes of these things. But within those these objects, there's stuff that's absolutely black. You know, there's no getting around it. A little bit of a thought there on painting. 4:55 a.m. I'm going to take a little break, eat some breakfast, do the usual stuff. 8:21 a.m. Okay, I've stopped, and pretty good progress today. I was not expecting to get stuff done that was satisfying, but I did get some stuff done that was satisfying. I have this on the left-hand side. I got the Statue of Liberty being pulled down by this bald-headed guy, and at the base I have the riot police, and in front of the riot police I have the protesters with their little black umbrellas. And I defined it a little bit better. I dealt with the background a little bit better, and like I said, I'm very satisfied with it for a change. So I didn't think something was going to happen with that, but it did. So, but I was listening to Megyn Kelly's podcast with Steven Crowder, and he was talking about a joke that reminded me about some stuff. As I mentioned earlier, last January, I had quadruple bypass surgery. And he was talking about this one joke. His father had cancer, and he was talking about a joke. They had a little contest on who on the best cancer joke that they could come up with. And the joke was this man went to the doctor, had tests done and everything, and the doctor came back in and said, okay, the wife came in, and like I said, she doesn't want to be recorded. Okay, so the joke was the man goes to the doctor and has some tests done. And the doctor comes back in and says, I've got some really bad news for you. You have cancer, and you really have a real bad case of Alzheimer's. And the man sat there and said, well, I guess it could be worse. I could always have cancer. And I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, maybe I said, you know, that my timing's never any good, even when I steal jokes. What I was thinking about was that, when I had a heart attack, I really didn't think much of it. I was kind of like, it was a pressure on my chest, but you know, it was not one of those where, you know, you grab your chest and you fall down and you're like laying on the ground and the ambulance comes and gets you and takes you to the hospital and they have your quadruple bypass or nothing like that. I had some pressure on my chest, and I made it back home. I didn't mention it to the wife, for about a day, because I didn't really want to get her upset. And so went through that day, and then the next day I called. So I had a heart attack, which was definitely a heart attack. And so I waited a day, and then the next day after that, I called the advice nurse at Kaiser, and she said, you better get down to the emergency room. So that's what I did. And, my wife was very concerned, as women usually do. And my sister had just gone down to Southern California for one of her vacation stints. She was going to stay a month, and she was already down there like not quite a week. And so I gave her a call from the hospital bed. They're still doing tests on me to determine what was going on, because they couldn't tell if I wasn't still having a heart attack, but they couldn't tell if I had some kind of problem. But then again, they did all the other little tests and determined that I had blockage and I needed a quadruple bypass. So she ended up coming back from her vacation. And, everybody was very concerned. And, for myself, the whole time, I really wasn't that concerned. Even right before the quadruple bypass surgery, they were telling me what was going to happen. And, I was talking to the OR nurse out in the hallway before they wheeled me in, and we were talking about football. He's talking about what was he talking about? Tom Brady might go to the Raiders, which didn't happen. Anyway, so we were talking, and my concern was never, I may not make it out of this surgery. It was never that. I always had the expectation to come out the other end of the surgery, and not have a problem with that. So I don't know if it's just stupidity on my part or it's just the way I look at things. If I died, and there was a time in my life when I was really, really sick one time. And I wasn't in the hospital or anything, but I was feeling terrible. And so I was laying on the couch and I'd sleep a little bit for about an hour and then wake up and feel terrible and blah, blah, blah. And I was doing this all day long. And at one point I woke up and I was just, oh, I felt bad. And I was talking to God. I said, God, if you want to take me now, if you want just to take me right now, I would not complain. There are worse things than dying. Trust me. So, you really can't go through life worrying about whether if you're going to die or not. I'm not saying don't try not to die. I'm not saying don't try not dying. Is that what I'm trying to say? Always, you fight for your life as best you can when the time arises. But don't be afraid to fight for your life because you might die. Okay? So I guess that's my words of wisdom for today. Be back a little later, I think. 5:01 p.m. I left the recording machine on. So I gotta unplug it now and turn it off. So that's it for today. Have a good day.